Blog Talk Radio.
And the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of the show. Please join me in welcoming spiritual poet Diane Robitaille. Her poems are such that they speak to the heart, your heart. I can't see the call-in number at the moment. I will get that in a minute. So joining me now is Diane Robitaille. Hello, dear Diane.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You guys just came back from a wilderness vacation. That sounds really, really wonderful.
Sorry, you came back, or I came back?
Did you come back? Did you come back from a, well, maybe not a wilderness vacation?
Well, yes, we were up in the Rockies,
cool.
Canadian Rockies. Yeah, it was wonderful. We paddled.
And you're refreshed. And
mile-long lake.
A mile-long wait?
14 miles long. We paddled canoes.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and we rigged up the canoes so they were together as a pontoon boat, and we could sail it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wind is
and,
strong.
Was it pretty wild rapids, or was it... fairly
no,
calm.
No, it was a lake, but a lot of waves for sure. Yeah.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to writing your poem. You probably didn't get a chance to write too many poems on your trip.
I didn't. No. No, I was too busy paddling.
Right. Well, I'm excited to what I would love to have is a poetry reading. And we can talk about your poems and how your poems have come to be. And I was also wondering if, have you always been writing poems all of your life or since a certain age, or is this something that came to you in a flash in recent years?
Well, I was at the age of 22, and I was just driving along, and I thought of looking out at nature, and I don't know, it came to me that cameras and eyes making that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first poem is called Camera. And I wrote that in 1972, so I've been writing ever since.
Mm-hmm. And it was I remember you telling me the story as to, I mean, it was some years later that you were encouraged by a spiritual giant, I would say, to get your poems published.
Yes, I thought, well, gee, I've been writing now for 23 years, and I have this friendship with a wonderful person who loved poetry and could recite so many different poets and beautiful poems. I thought, well, I should just show her some of my poems and see what she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So after a few days, she got back to me and she said, you should have these published and share them with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me 10 years, but I managed to finally get them off the scraps of paper and onto the computer and try different fonts and formats, and And then I did the pastel chalk drawings for the 108 poems and put 36 poems in a book. So I have three books
mm-hmm.
of poetry. Yeah, and I call it Words for the Wordless.
Yes, now, that is a very interesting title. So it's all it's a trilogy at this moment anyway, and you would call the whole trilogy, maybe you don't even see it that way, but you call all three of these books Words for the Wordless?
Yes, and the distinction is in the years. So it's chronological. Starts with 1972 to 1990, and the second book, 1990 to 2000, and the third book, 2000 to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find you've become more prolific as time goes on?
I go in waves.
Mm-hmm.
I just write when I, there's something that's moving me to write about, you know?
Yes,
so,
and so people ask, well, I've been writing these prayers. I don't know if you might have seen them on the Facebook page.
Yes.
But, so it's been about, I guess, about 580 prayers so far, and people ask me, and this is the thing. I mean, I would think that, or people think, oh, how can you write a prayer every day? But the thing is, I wonder the same thing myself. But then I sit down with a paper or a pen or just sit down. Actually, I've been writing them on my iPhone lately, and they just pour in. And so that's what I mean. I think sometimes things become just more flowing. They once you open that channel, it's not really you doing it anymore, as it were, you know? I would think the same would be true of your poetry.
If I understand you correctly, I get a start, and then there's a logical flow. So I'm active in it. You know, it's not just falling freely. Participating. Yeah.
I actually feel like I'm hearing something that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an active participation. And the creative process is so varied for everybody, and everybody experiences it differently, I would say. But read us a poem.
Well,
that'd be great.
I probably mentioning this camera, I can start with that first one.
Oh, good. Thank you.
When I, 22 years old. So, my eyes are like shutters, rapidly fluttering, taking in life's mysteries along the way. Objects on my cerebral celluloid leave tracks of impressions in negativity to be positively developed.
Oh, that's really great. Play on words.
<You know?
laughs> Yeah. I love it.
When I first, it's like, okay. Worth going on anyway.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. You know, I can see how you probably were very excited the way that came out.
Yes, and looking back at it, I think, impressions and negativity to be positively developed. So, you know, that's critical thinking that has
yes,
that negative edge. And it needs, so whatever is perceived, instead of taking it directly in through the thinking, it's to be feeling into it. And then
yes.
It bypasses critical thinking.
Yes.
So that's where it's a positive then. And then you have a thought about the feeling rather than a direct thought about the phenomena.
Mm-hmm. And did you right away begin to illustrate these poems with pastels and watercolors, or just pastels?
Oh, no. Did that very last thing. After all the poems were written, and I'd found the format that I felt worked for the poem, I put it in a certain format and chose a particular font available on the computer, and then printed it out on art paper.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then I did the drawing. And if I didn't come up with the drawing, I went back and reformatted and found that, oh, now I can do the drawing. So that was the process. But the very last thing that I did.
Yeah, what would we have ever done? What did we do before the computer? I mean, my gosh, it's just a wonderful discovery.
Yeah, well, like I say, I had mine on bits of paper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they are, I mean, just, yeah, it's, you can put them on your, even if you put them in a blog, you're publishing them. But you have to let us know where we can get these, your books of poems, and we can, you don't have to do that right now, but I don't want to forget, you know, where we can get them. So go ahead with our next poem.
Sure. So when I was in Lancaster, living in Lancaster, there was a wonderful artist who walked by the Williams' home where I had the third floor apartment, and she would be making her way to Central Market, and she had a cane helping her to get along there to get her groceries. So she'd stop and have a little chat with me if I was outside there. So I was really struck with how cheery she was, always looking at what was beautiful and pointing that out. So I wrote this in mindfulness of her, and I sent it to her, actually, and she passed away soon after, or if when the poem was on, in the mail to her, I'm not sure which. So this is Florence Starr Taylor.
Oh,
maybe you
she
knew
was,
her?
She was a... an icon here in Lancaster, where I live and where you don't live anymore. But yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. She is a long, long story, trailing it with her where she goes. Her walking stick tells the length of time. A glowing red flame is she, coloring the path she walks, admiring the colors she sees, bringing cheer to whomever she greets. Who is that blazing star, tailored to shoot like a comet? I'm sure I saw flowers appear just where she passed.
You did, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. And the flowers came out as a poem. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We do have some icons here in the city. And a few of them just passed. The last, Joanne Glass passed. But Romaine Bridgette just passed also. Remember her?
Oh, really? Sure.
Yes.
Singer.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Unbelievable woman, and she was not just a singer, you know, she was a beautiful opera, she won opera awards and had the voice of an angel, but she was a real spiritual giant as well, and I went to her funeral, if you want to call it that, today, and it was at the same church, the Unitarian Church, and we... It was, well, I have to tell you this story. this gentleman, one of her students, sang a song, and it was a, you know, so-called Negro spiritual, and it was called Going Home. I'm Going Home, and he's, and it was the most beautiful song that I've ever heard, and everybody was just weeping uncontrollably. And the whole thing was that going home is so easy. It's as easy as opening a door and just taking off from there. Oh, I just have to hear that. I just need to look up that song. I didn't have a chance, but it was so absolutely. And then what I enjoyed, too, was that the Last Supper, there's always that controversy in the Unitarian Church about the Last Supper being opened or closed, and today it was open. It was wonderful.
Wonderful, yes.
Yeah, totally, totally wonderful. So I just had to throw that in. So go ahead.
Lauren, on this whole theme of, I call it dying to live. I have actually here a poem that I wrote for a friend who passed, and I was so mindful of him. And it was like, pick up your pen and write. And 2 weeks before his passing, I gave him a poem. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh, you know, this is, writing the poem was a gift. And so I call it opening. Death, its mighty hand has shaken loose the petals from the flowered life, scatter seeds and ground of souls, opening to receive the light. Breath, its powerful message has spoken loose the ribs that cage the song. Fly forth in realms of air, opening hearts to be reborn. Life, its mysterious way, has taken loose the story from the teller's lips. Remember words unheard or spoken, opening minds to see love's script.
Beautiful.
So I had written this, and I thought, well, do I speak this at the memorial service or not? So I thought, well, if I hear three things that go with these three verses, then I'll take that as a sign to share that. And so I did. Somebody started speaking about Court as a storyteller and so on and so forth. And that his life had flowered and, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The audience or the people there, you know, celebrating his life must have really appreciated that.
Well, so much so, I was asked to present it again to at the end of the service, to end the service, special occasion.
Well, he probably felt his presence there.
Well,
Everybody else.
Everywhere.
Oh, everywhere.
Out
exactly.
In the garden and all, you know, in the trees. Tremendous. I felt that, too, when Dorothea passed.
Oh, it's just amazing. Do you still feel Dorothea everywhere? And I imagine you would.
Not the same way. Not in the trees. She's gone on.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing,
journey.
Isn't it, that they have missions to accomplish. I think they do want to help us, but they have a lot more to do besides just help us, you know. And I was remembering my own mother, who I really haven't felt around until a few weeks before Joanne passed, and she and Joanne were very close. by feeling her presence, then nobody believed Joanne was going to pass, and everybody believed she was going to beat this thing. So when my mother shows up, I think I realize, oh, I guess not. Which is fine. Which is fine, you know. It was fine because her showing up and kind of signaling to me that she was waiting was a true feeling of security. You know, it's like, okay, there's nothing to fear. And it was a beautiful thing, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead.
Well, you know, we can be in touch without having to cross the threshold by actually totally being out of the body until the next lifetime. We can be out of the body in the thought world.
Yes.
So
and we can access the spirit as we live now.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a poem called I Know, and it's about finding my way home, meaning into the thought world, so the spiritual world. And, I'll do this one. I know. In solitude I go toward my goal, seeing little, remembering less. Though I know I will find my way home, quietly I go to touch the truth, saying less, listening more. So I know I will find my way home. How long, how short, how near, how far? Senseless questions to ask the self. Only I know I will find my way home.
Beautiful. We actually have somebody here on the switchboard.
Oh, okay.
206 area code. Let me just bring them on. Hello there.
Is that me?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm just figuring out how this works. This is Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi,
Danny. Okay.
Well,
yeah, thanks for letting me know. Sid was going to be up, but I know she had something to do. So, anyway,
yeah,
it's nice to hear you both.
Nice to hear your voice. The poetry is beautiful, isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to hear Diane reading them because it's different to hear the spoken word than just to read them. I've read some of them in her books, which are really lovely, which I have right here. So I encourage anybody who's interested to see if they can get those. But to hear them spoken is really interesting. I'm feeling like it's causing me to do Eurythmy, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
That is good.
I feel like they need to be moved.
It's an inspiration. It's inspiring you. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Diane, do you do poetry readings where you live?
I'm sorry?
I do. And in
you
fact,
do,
I do present the poems through movement and gesture. And I have 3 by 4 foot poem banners with these poems from the book put onto these polyester cloth banners. So then you get the written word, the color, the movement, gesture, and the spoken word.
Oh, that's really
beautiful. Presentation, yeah. Yeah, it's fun
in
to
a way,
do it that way.
It is eurythmic. It is eurythmy, though, what you're describing doing with these poems then.
I do a combination of spatial dynamics and eurythmy. What I'm doing is to enhance for the viewer the thought content and through the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Well, it's kind of a hybrid, what I'm doing. I wouldn't call it either one, but it's something combined.
Yes.
Yeah.
For our listening audience, and people can access this on archive, and I know they will, I just want to describe your rhythm as, well, Diane, you describe your rhythm. You know it, you probably have described your rhythm many more times than I have, so go ahead.
Well, it's basically known as the what is made visible that otherwise is invisible. So you take the vowel sounds, so there's the whole scale of feeling life that's given through both ah, ooh, oh, and so on, e, I, and the, so if you go ah, I mean, what would your arms do? How would they show ah? Are they crossing in front of you? Or are they opening up?
They're opening up.
They sure are. So that's the movement, and each sound has an inherent movement. So anyone can, I feel, find that if they're really open and want to bring into movement with their arms these all the sounds. But the vowels in particular are the feeling realm, and then the consonants are the shapers. So, boot, buh. So it shapes, right? And closes, buh, like a blanket.
It's like a sign language in a way. I just thought of that.
Well,
it's
got its own, you
that
can say
so
that.
That is so neat.
Yep.
Except it's
but it's bigger. It is bigger,
yeah.
Yeah, you draw from really out there. Behind all that is a big world. You know, like where does sound come from? What's its source? That's what we're looking at here.
And then where does that language
big? And not just a little sign, with your fingers or your arms. I mean, you really need to connect.
And then the next question, the next question would be, where does language come from, and how can we make it our own? And I can see how something like eurythmy. Now, did Rudolf Steiner himself invent eurythmy, or was that something? How did that come about?
Well, as far as Rudolf Steiner. There was a 16-year-old girl who wanted to have movement based on anthroposophy and came to Steiner and said, is there some kind of dance or movement? So he gave the little seeds, and she went away and she worked on certain things, and then she came back and showed him what she had discovered, and he said, yes, you could do it that way. And he also said sometime later, if eurythmy looked the same in 10 years, it had not developed.
Oh, so, well, that's a beautiful statement.
Yes, and so, I mean, it still needs some development. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
Yeah, but I think that would be true of almost anything. Yeah. That's a very profound statement.
Because it all hinges on our own personal development, that we really develop our consciousness so that we can move from ordinary consciousness to imaginative, to inspiration, to intuition. And when we can really work out of intuition, yes, we can really create something new.
Ah. And that's how it evolves, too, through consciousness and intuition. That's how your poetry evolves. That's how any kind of creative act evolves, is through that kind of process.
That's right. And we all do this. We're in and out. And the thing is, we by and large don't know we've crossed any thresholds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about learning those crossings. What are the characteristics of those different consciousnesses? And how can I purposely do it instead of, all of a sudden I had this idea. That it's just out of the blue I had this. Well, we can go there very purposefully and come back. You don't have to wait for that moment of, it just happened. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know how it happened, but it just happened, So we can know.
Well, what you're talking about is a grounding process where you ground the revelation or the aha by bringing it back, as opposed to just going, out there and whatever.
Yes, but knowing, now I want to go out there. And so what thoughts and feelings will take me out there?
Yes.
And so then I get the idea, and in the intuitive sphere realm, and then I dress it up in words, that's the inspiration, and then I have a picture for it, that's the imagination, and then I can write it down. I'm back in ordinary consciousness, and here I am, pen on the paper, writing out the poem.
Yes, the creative process is unbelievable. And I think we need each other. And the artist is, whether the artist is like you, Fran, with your beautiful art, and Diane with your beautiful poetry, or writing or whatever, you often are alone doing these processes. And we need to get out amongst people in order, I think that would be a grounding thing, to involve other people in our process and probably like-minded people, or maybe not necessarily like-minded people, but people who are open and receptive to the creative process.
Yeah,
And that's what's so amazing about the internet, because we may not find the people in our everyday lives necessarily, but we can really find like-minded people on the internet, on all these social networking venues, and they are very evolved, and they want to, and I think there's I believe that there is a intention online to really save the world from the negativity that we may be experiencing right now.
Well, I can only say I hope you're right. I don't know that as a fact, but I hope you're right.
Well, I think, there's a lot of other forces on the internet that aren't so uplifting or enlightened, but there's a huge bunch of people who really are very, very, wanting to see positivity and transformation. And that's what's so exciting, I think, about being connected that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say at this point, my poem about being creative fits here.
Oh, good.
And that's the title. And I can diminish myself into nothingness, or augment myself into somethingness. Thinking is a powerful tool serving to do or undo the worth of being human.
Hmm. Read that again.
Sure. Being creative. I can diminish myself into nothingness. or augment myself into somethingness. Thinking is a powerful tool serving to do or undo the worth of being human.
That is beautiful. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Sure.
It's almost like your poems create a wordlessness. You know, it's almost like, oh, I don't know what to say. Great.
Well, that's
great.
A good thing, I think.
Oh, I totally think so. Mm.
It gives you time to drink it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the one I sent you about see and hear me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that right there?
Yeah. See and hear me. Mirrors reflect. I can reflect you to yourself. Doors open. I can let you in or out. Yet without silence inside, there is no looking, no listening to see, to hear you into being.
That's very profound, too. I mean, they all are. That's so so true, though.
Yeah, if you got a lot of chatter inside, the only thing that you hear is yourself. You don't hear anybody else. You don't understand what they're saying. Right?
Well, everything is a reflection of ourselves, and it's funny, when we become critical, then we are really just mirroring out. It's not really the truth about the other person or the situation. When we are critical, it's really just a sort of a showering our own beliefs onto the situation. But when we really love something, it's the same thing. We are putting forth our reflection. I mean, it's much better to feel really great about something than it is to feel really, really bad. So much better to reflect out your positive feelings. If you know, we're human, though. We are human.
We are. So it's to take notice, you know, am I putting my own soul life, my own inner feeling onto the situation, or have I objectified my feeling life so that it reads what's going on? It's an organ of perception.
Right.
And can really see clearly, feel clearly, feel the effects of what's going on, and then I can think about it, you know, bring spiritual activity to it, and then know the situation.
Right. Wow.
Pardon me?
I just said wow.
Oh. That's a good word.
Words are sometimes, you know, overrated, but that's this beautiful thing about your poems is that there's no extra. It's beautiful. It's almost like a what is that beautiful type of poetry? Haiku.
Haiku. Mine are short.
I like
haiku,
that.
I guess.
Yes, and you know that's like a Zen koan too, where you listen to it and it wakes you up.
Oh, good.
It's beautiful, yeah. Yeah. You should do recordings of these poems and, you know, sell them.
Uh-huh.
That'd be really a good way to, you know, make a product from it and, you know, share it more widely and download audio and get it out there. What is how do we what is the name, you know, what is the URL, the web page for this?
Well, I have an email address for this, for the book.
Okay.
And I also have 24 of the poems selected from the three books put into a note card form. So it's a blank inside, comes with an envelope. Sorry. There are four different sets, six cards per package, six different cards.
Now, are you saying that you actually have a poem within the note card, or
on the cover?
On the cover. Okay.
Yes.
Blank inside. Yeah.
Yes. Uh huh. And so it's the poem with the pastel illustration.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Well, give us the email.
Okay. It's dianecrobi@aol.com.
That's D-I-A-N-E-C. Now, is the Diane and the C and the Robie actually capitalized, or is it all small letters?
It works either way.
Okay. So it's dianecrobi@aol.com. And I will put that here in the chat room. Believe it or not, there is a person here, so I'm just going to. And as far as the note cards, then you would probably send to the person inquiring a sample of the poem that you have there or what have you, so that they can choose. Is that it? Yeah.
With the note cards, I now have thumbnail views of all the cards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could send that, and then you could choose which set of cards.
Do you have that up on your Facebook? You know what you should do? Create a page on Facebook. Do you know how to do that?
I think I have to learn to do that.
Well, all you have to do is go to any page that is on Facebook. And then up in the corner, it will say create a page.
Then you can just
go there and create it. And then you can sell your stuff from there, because Facebook is one of the, like, millions and millions of people are on Facebook. And so many people think, well, Facebook is a really cool way to communicate with a relative across across the United States or something. And it is wonderful to stay in touch with your family that way. But my gosh, this is just, you can market these things in a way that will only grow. It's not, obviously these things aren't overnight, but by getting word of mouth out. So anyway, when you create the page, just let us know, and we can promote you that way.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Good.
Yeah, and then you can put you can get the pictures of the cards up there. By even just taking pictures. I'm not sure if there's actually PayPal might be able, you might be able to utilize PayPal, but the way you probably do it now is fine. The way you have it set up is probably fine. But this way you can get the word out to more and more people.
All right.
Yay.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, I'm always thinking about ways of promoting things. And
I'm just
products.
Going around to hospital gift shops these days to see if they want to carry the cards, and been in touch with the city council and so on and so forth. So,
how about Amazon?
Amazon.
That would be perfect. I don't know the exact process, but I know friends who do. I know a friend of mine was supposed to get on here tonight. Her name is Carol Wingard, and she would know exactly how to do it. We can get her to help us with that. And I have another friend who puts all of her poetry and her beautiful artwork up on Amazon, so she would be another resource. I mean,
yeah, that would be good to know.
This is the thing, you know, this is what I'm talking about. There's so much help available. People are just bending over backwards to help everybody. That's what's so beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I'd like to know how to do that with the Amazon. That's interesting.
Yeah, that would be really be great.
Hmm. Okay, thanks, Kate.
You're welcome. We'll move on that a little later. So go ahead with what other beautiful idea you have.
Well, I was thinking as you're mentioning people helping and friends and so on. And so I wrote a poem about, she was the office manager in the school I was teaching in. And her name... what really I felt fit her so well. So I call this, What's in a Name? Mm-hmm. Melissa, it must mean honeymead, an elixir, a divine potion given freely to friend or foe. Surely she shall secure sensible signs amongst the menacing multitudes. Wherever she goes, goodness passes with her. She spins straw into gold. The broken, dried up words whispered to her become light, whole cloth, woven with understanding. Thus, the table of communion is covered. Each cup is filled with the elixir of life, and the mean thirst of the multitude is quenched.
Mm-hmm. Well, that person, does she know you wrote that poem?
She did. I did. Yeah, I gave it to her.
Oh, my gosh. She must have been so honored.
Well, she was rather awestruck. We
don't
always see ourselves, I think, you know, in our heart of hearts. Yeah, so.
Well,
anyway.
You know, it's a compliment. It's a compliment that so much of our time we don't receive. It's an art form that to not only give compliments, but it's also an art form to receive them. And it's also kind of shocking when we receive them. And so it's almost, you know, you have to say thank you.
Yeah.
You have to remember to say, oh, thank you, instead of saying, oh, no, you can't mean that. No, you know. That's a beautiful, beautiful poem.
No, she
poem.
Said thank you. She did say thank you.
That's a tremendous gift. So I'm sure she... will always think about that with great, you know, radiant feeling of love. It's just beautiful.
Well, all the gifts I feel are really mine to perceive that in her and to find the words, you know, create the words that really capture what I was perceiving of her working with disgruntled parents, for instance, and how she could really turn it all to, like I say, spin the straw into gold.
Right. Go ahead.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Oh, that's all. My phone keeps making you hear those sounds. Anyway, pardon me.
Oh, actually, it sounds fine. You're coming through very well. There's no echoing or anything. It's great. Sometimes we have an echo problem. And we certainly don't have that tonight, so that's great.
Yeah. I imagine that other people have felt in a conversation all of a sudden it's like, oh, I really know this person, even though I've just met them. You know,
mm-hmm.
So That happened to me so strongly once that I wrote a poem. So I call it Through the Word. I felt some knowing place, words weaving you and me together, one strand of sentence over and under the other, crossing, meeting in the midst of movement. I found some knowing place. Within the words was heard, I remember you.
Well, isn't there just something karmic there? When you meet somebody and you feel that feeling of...
Yeah, we've been together before.
Yes. Yeah. I suppose that would be true of feeling terrible negativity about somebody, too. You know, it's like...
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't written a poem about that, though.
No, that's a little much. It's better not to focus on that.
Well,
but,
I must say, actually, I did.
Oh.
I met something in someone that all of a sudden I was like, it was through a movement, and I could see something about that movement. So I wrote this. You and I, we have destroyed something before, you and I. We have destroyed what others have built, you and I. We bear the responsibility now, you and I. We are here to build upon others' labors, you and I. I and you, we will build the new city.
Mm. That kind of reminds me of forgiveness.
Mm. Yeah. About moving on.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's very well said.
Yeah. Because you don't move on when you're caught in all the negatives. It's like an anchor overboard, you know, the ship doesn't move.
Yes. Well, certainly we have periods of that like that in our lives.
But yeah, we do.
It's preferable, you know.
Yep.
Movement is
preferable.
Well, it's about
learning how to move out of that.
Yes.
We all have the opportunities to get stuck, and so we just need to learn how to get unstuck.
Yes. And the reason we get stuck really is in our own thinking.
Yeah, well, the feelings are pretty powerful, and then... Okay, how do you create a new feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, first you have to learn how to objectify a feeling life. So that's why we have higher thoughts that we can live into. And
that's
then
right.
any higher thought changes the feeling. And it's like, oh, yeah, I can breathe again.
Yes, and we have that at our fingertips, as it were, all the time.
Yes, and so then when I'm in that new feeling, I'm free to think of a new thought to embrace instead of the one I had that created that ugly feeling.
Mm-hmm. Right. Huh. What's the very latest poem that you wrote?
My latest. Well, I actually wrote something. It's not finished quite, but it was about a passing of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joanne Glass.
Oh, really? Wonderful. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. She's so... Oh, my gosh. You want to hear, just before you tell this poem, we had an earthquake here today. And not just here, though. It went from somewhere like down south, South Carolina, up to Rhode Island. And there was damage in Washington, D.C. And I think the epicenter of this thing was right by a nuclear power plant. But I picked up a book that I was reading, and I'm reading this book because of all these, you know, passings and people. It's called Close to the Bone, and actually it has to do with illness and rising to the occasion. It's called Life-Threatening Illness and the Search for Meaning, and the author is Jean Shinoda Bolin, MD. She's a psychiatrist. And she's very high, very spiritual. So I picked up the book, and it said that life-threatening illness is like an earthquake. It was just so interesting to pick up the book after the earthquake and have those words come forth, and how we can rise above and survive these life-changing events. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, anyway, it's a work in process, but in any event, passing of a friend. Thinking you, friend, warm welcomer, warmth of hand upon my back, warm hug, warming gratitude, given freely, graciously, generously, gleefully. Feeling you, friend, sunlight shining, ice melting to flowing water, starlight gleaming, dark nights sparkling, raising sights high, higher. Willing you, friend, finding love fulfilled, wisdom gained, peace achieved, joy in journeying through starry realms.
Did you know that her friend Sheila and her children found a service that Joanne had done, and they put it out on this wonderful sound system? But it was very interesting experience to be sitting there, and I had also done a few readings, and people were doing some readings and some singing and some signing. And then Sheila got up, and Sheila is a choreographer. Many years she was a dancer. So she gets up, and she gives a testament to Joanne, and then they unleashed this sermon that Joanne had done. Now, it had the effect that you can only imagine, of hearing her voice. Now, it was really funny because this was not planned, but Sheila goes, "Are we on?" And suddenly Joanne's voice comes over the loudspeaker and goes, "Are we on?" This huge, booming, "Are we on?" And everybody almost fainted. You know, it was like, it was a beautiful and imaginative thing to do. And then she went, so then she went on and gave her sermon, and it was about the endings and beginnings of the endings of a year and the beginnings of a new year. And at the end of it all, I got the feeling that there is no death, that nobody really ever passes. There's no such thing. I mean, it's like we are so programmed to think that people die when they don't. And it was the most remarkable spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I just got the audio of it today, but it was videotaped. And so when I can figure out a way to get that videotape out, just find out how to send it to people. You've got to see that. It's a true, beautiful gift.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see that. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, we have come to the end of the program.
Okay.
That was a very beautiful, easy and lovely hour we just spent together. And Fran, it was wonderful to have you listening in. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good, Fran.
Thank you.
Good to hear you. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Diane. And we will, and I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child. And also, Diane, we will think of wonderful new ways of getting your work out to the general public, to people who really need to hear these beautiful things. And also, the fact that you have these note cards, that is so cool. So
yeah.
I'll be ordering some of those as soon as I, like in the next day or two. So, okay. Love to
all
you.
Right.
Love to you, Fran.
Love
Franny,
you,
I love, I love Fran. I love that word, Franny. Okay, here
yeah.
we go.
Music
for mother
okay.
and child. Music for mother and child.
All right.